Tyrion Lannister.
Dinklage. Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. He's going to be the new Toxic Avenger, and it looks ridiculous. It looks actually pretty
That sounds
cool.
kind of great. Wow. Yeah. I mean, Peter Dinklage is like, can do Hamlet, Shakespeare. He could probably do David Bowie. Like, he could do He's terrific
Why
all the time.
That would be
he
wild.
Has never done anything bad. Even when the rest of the movie is bad, he's good.
Yeah, he is a
Absolutely.
Serious
no,
actor.
He's in so many good things, like even just low key movies that are great. But, you know, you were talking about the horror and the gore thing, and I felt like this week, well, someone else had mentioned The Long Good Friday, which I was going to mention, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I got to check that one out. I don't know that
that's
one.
That's a Criterion movie, too.
Well, that's always a sign of super classy. You know, that's
yeah.
You get a little champagne and you're watching the blood splatter movie, you know.
Hell yeah, dude. But the newer one that I just recently saw, because it just dropped on HBO Max or Max, whatever you want to call it, is Companions, which
I saw that. Yeah, that's well. I don't want to ruin it.
What's the log line?
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it, but it's like basically a guy brings his new girlfriend to hang out with his friends for the weekend, and girlfriend finds out she might be more than just a girlfriend.
The girl from Yellow Jackets.
Sophie
is that
Thatcher.
The one?
I don't know if she's from Yellow Jackets. Jack Quaid from been in Novocaine and The Boys.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff.
Some really good actors in that. Rupert Friend's in that, and Companion. I recommend. It's actually was out for a little while. It's pretty well done, and it was tight. It was good. I mean, and it's surprising, and that's why I don't. I mean, I thought it was cool that they gave away some stuff in the trailers that I thought shouldn't have been given away, because
I think it would have
been.
I watched it. I felt the same way.
Don't you?
Yeah, I thought the trailer was way too long. That's why I didn't see it, because I was like, they gave everything
they
away.
They gave it away in the trailer, but like. She's such a winning.
Great.
I saw her in Heretic too. That's the
I
thought she was great.
I thought
in
Heretic
that.
Was weak, but everybody.
I was so excited about Heretic, and then I thought it ended up being sort of a typical movie in the end.
Yeah.
It was like It could have been called
mansplaining. Also, honestly, going back to The Substance, most horrific thing I think for me in that was seeing Dennis Quaid not.
Oh yeah, that's
dad, and like just being a freaking creep.
There were some eating noises.
The
in
shrimp
the,
in yeah, his I teeth. Mean, I was like, get out of here.
That is appalling.
Yeah, he like if you go on Wiki, it says like he ate how many pounds of it he ate for the scene, but it was like
and that's just to torment the guy. It was like he did two in a row that I thought were terrifying. He did a Reagan impression for an entire movie that was like off the wall.
Oh my god!
And then he did the eating the shrimp
it
thing, which
so
I was
crazy.
Like, oh my
that
god.
Was the most horrific part.
Just like lip smacking goodness.
Every time he like made a nasty comment down the hall, I was like, ugh. This
well,
is,
you can.
It was horrible.
Like, oh my god, that's the worst.
Totally.
Thank you for the call. Thank you. Hello, call. You're on the air. That's too bad. Thank you for your call. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and in Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM and all over the world. You can hear us online at WFMU.org. How's your phone? Is it back to life now?
It's coming. It's coming along.
You
got to
park it
to
on the. If you park it
40%.
If well, you got to park. You don't think it works? You probably have a higher end phone than me. Yeah, it's charging now. That's the real horror movie. Is like it should be called 1%. And
I know
like,
people are like, I'm on 1%. I'm on 1%.
Oh my god!
Right. But I rode my bike and I just need music.
You rode your bike?
Yeah.
Through the tunnel?
No, I took the ferry.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a nice ride.
Love a ferry. Ferry's classy.
Yeah.
Next week, Jackie, a.k.a. Mrs. Bucci, will be hosting this program.
Huh.
So keep an eye out for her.
Wow.
I think it's a font-related program. So this is something they've been trying to do for a long time.
Font?
I think it might be about graphic design of some kind. I think it's called the Over the Line. Well, I got to look that up before the end of the program. But give all your love to Jackie in her.
Where are you going?
I might be answering the phones.
Huh.
I mean, I didn't need the week off or anything like that. It was just like, oh, Jackie's going to be on. Oh, well, you know, take the three thumbs up slot there, Jackie.
Oh.
There's a Nadia coming up, too. You remember Nadia? You never met Nadia? Oh, Nadia's incredible. She sat in for Bucci a few weeks ago. I think she's going to be sitting in for me at some point in May.
Huh.
But like a 11-year-old talk show. She was born to do talk radio.
Wow.
Yeah, she is a star. That's amazing. I tell you. Like, this show is hanging by a thread, people. Oh. A thread. This new schedule is coming out, and it's like...
Oh, my gosh. Wait, what? Did you sign up for that?
What?
The next schedule.
No, I haven't done that yet.
It's not open, right? That'll be my next horror, but
no, no, not yet. Yeah, it'll be very soon, though.
Okay, cool.
Here's Alan. Ask Alan is on tonight. Alan, what are we talking about here on Ask Alan tonight? What are we, we're giving advice to everyone and anyone?
Anyone and anyone, you know, light stuff is okay. Like,
light, it doesn't have to be it's intense.
Okay. It's okay.
You can't fight life.
Earth shattering. Like, after school special.
A boat, but you don't know if it's too expensive.
The boat. Should you buy the boat?
Should you buy the boat?
Ask Alan is coming up next. I'll probably be answering the phone. So, hang on. Thank you, Naomi. Stuck around.
Oh, thank you, guys.
What a program! Always a classier program than Naomi.
Agreed.
I don't know about that Jim the Poet guy, but Naomi is a star. People, a star. Well, thanks for tuning in. Please keep your thumbs in the air at all times, and we will see you in 2 weeks. MoMA, MoMA.
Me and Jim the Poet have different styles of working the phones.
You do?
Yes, you're over here, I'm over there.
Are you lefty?
I'm a lefty.
You're a lefty?
Of course I'm a lefty. What kind of question is that? Don't you know a lefty when you see one?
I mean, they're geniuses.
They're using their left hand and they're geniuses. My name is Alan. I'm filling in for Micah. Thank you, Micah. The music of mind control. This is Ask Alan. Advice on any topic from a completely unqualified purveyor of advice. I have no right to be doing this, and yet you call 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. Ask me anything. if I have a wheelhouse, it's probably like where I'm actually maybe 5 out of 10 qualified to give advice. It would be DIY projects, because I'm broke and I have a really old house, so I have to figure out how to do things myself. Not out of any talent or anything, just out of need, necessity. So if you have a project that you've been thinking about trying, but you're afraid to dive in. It's Earth Day. Isn't it, Jim the Poet? Oh, wait, you have a microphone.
It's Earth Day today?
It's Earth Day.
I thought it always was like on a weekend.
Well, you're wrong.
Oh, okay. I'm frequently wrong.
It's Earth Day, so maybe today you were encouraged to try to make some minor changes to do your little part to...
I promise to pollute less.
And there you go. Maybe you want to pollute less, but you don't
slightly
know how.
Slightly less.
Thinking about getting a boat for the first time in your life, but you don't know where to dock it?
I would like a boat. Yeah, that would be nice.
Relationship problems?
I have those.
Or maybe not problems. Maybe you just... You got a crush on somebody and you don't know how to pursue.
Therese.
Jim the Poet has a crush on Therese. I think she's taken.
What?
201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. Advice on any topic. Maybe you're thinking about diving into gambling and you...
Oh, I tried that.
What's...
It's not going great.
We got a phone call, Jim.
Oh, terrific.
All right. Hello, you're on the radio.
Hey, man, you're talking about a home improvement project.
All right, great. I'm actually cozy in that.
I just finished doing my house, and my house was built in 1921, and it had been like what I call a lot of great ideas had been administered, and which had to be reversed.
What do you mean by that?
Well, like a lot of guys did things and they didn't really do the homework on them to get them done correctly.
Yeah,
so there was a lot of backpedaling on my part. Like, okay, for instance, in this house, they had an old school panel box. It had like the screw-in fuses.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and what they did is they took that box out, tied together a bunch of all of the old leads, which were all just all tar-coated wire that went around porcelain conductors.
Uh-huh.
And they tied it to aluminum wire and then ran all of that to a up-to-date, I guess, fuse box outside of the house.
Oh, I got you. So it was working, but it was dangerous.
Very dangerous, because the walls, I found out what they had done is they had filled the walls with cellulose, which is kind of like a paper product,
yes,
which is just confetti.
I know what it is.
Yep.
My house was built in 1892, so I know what you're talking about. So let's get to the project that you're thinking about working on.
Well, right now what I had done is I put aluminum flashing around my windows.
Uh-huh.
And what has happened over the past, I don't know, 9 years, is that I guess it's a vinyl coating is starting to come off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm dealing with aluminum. And from what I understand, I think you need to use aluminum oxide as some kind of primer, I believe. I don't know what you guys know about that.
What are you trying to do? What are you trying to?
I mean, right now it looks like I got like, you know, mirrors around my windows. It's kind of cool looking, but you know,
is it doing the job? Is water staying out?
Oh yeah, man.
So you're just looking for looking for an aesthetic like that covers up the aluminum flashing, maybe.
Yeah, something along. You know what I mean? Just so like.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
It doesn't look, you know,
the outside, right? Obviously, that's where the flashing would be. So the flashing is underneath the molding and still showing through it.
Like, think about like. So what they did is that a guy came in and they put what they call an aluminum wrap.
Yeah.
And it was an aluminum product that had like a white wood
look to it. Okay.
You know,
and then it wore off, and now it's just metal, weird aluminum around your.
Like I said, it looks kind of, in my opinion, it looks cool, but not everybody's in agreement.
All right. So if you want to go traditional and you want it to look good, then you kind of got to cover it with some kind of a molding, right? Like just get traditional.
What I wanted to do was just paint the aluminum.
I mean, how cheap do you want to go? How much do you want to spend?
I don't want to spend a lot at all. I mean, I want to spend. It's like for to take the aluminum off and then to retrim everything.
Yeah, no way.
Thousands. I mean, I got 30 something windows on my house.
It looks like. I mean, you got two choices. I'm just like you. I don't want to spend a lot of money for something like that, and it's working and it's keeping the water out. You either paint it to make it look uniform with the rest of the house, or you cover it with like a wood molding that makes it even look even a little bit more like it's supposed to look.
Exactly, man. Well, that was like more of what I was getting at was like you need to put a special kind of primer on that aluminum or you're going to be painting that stuff in 2 years. And I think it's I want to say it's aluminum oxide to put on it.
Well, if you put molding over it, then you, as long as you caulk it real good and nothing can get underneath it, you don't have to worry about it too much. But yeah, I'm sure if you go to any, you know, DIY store or Home Depot hardware store, they're going to tell you what you're going to cover an exterior aluminum with before you either, if you just leave it or if you cover it with a molding.
Right, right. I got it, man. Well, you know, good luck with your house, man.
Thanks, you as well. Thanks for the call. That was a good start. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Peace.
See you, bud.
Hello, you're on the radio. Don't curse.
Alan.
Every week somebody curses.
Honored.
Don't curse. Sorry.
I didn't curse.
I know, but every week somebody curses. Is this Zach?
Oh
yeah, you won't. Yeah, Zach won't curse.
Hey, Alan, how are you? Right. Yeah, someone did it during Naomi and Jim.
Ah, these cursers. These mother. Go ahead. What's
Well, Alan, I got three quick ones for you.
Oh snap.
Okay, so what are the reference books and guides you turn to learn? You know, these different.
Now, that we were just talking about this with Gentleman Joe Magasco today. There was a time when you could get Reader's Digest books on that you would have to, like, if it was like, ooh, I have never really done sheetrock and insulation before, you'd have to go to the library and you get your Reader's Digest or you find your DIY section at a library. You don't have to do that. You know, the internet is a horrible place filled with conspiracy theories and fake news and all of the things that are ruining society, but it's also fantastic for learning how to do things that you didn't know how to do before. So I don't use books anymore. I use the internet I have to make a boardwalk to the back of my yard. I need a footpath. And I was like, and I want to do this cheap and I don't want to pour footings and I want to do this as cheap as possible. And you find you pull up, a boardwalk, a footpath in yard, and like 35 videos come up on YouTube. And so there are no references.
Everyone's filming themselves doing it.
There are no references. Yeah, everybody's filming themselves doing it. So you don't need references books. The good side of the internet is that you can learn how to do almost anything.
Like those. Okay.
They work really
like
well. If you already know how to use tools and you're generally handy, yes, of course. You DIY projects, you use the internet. What was your next one?
How do you deal with the absurdity
of
this moment?
Dogs. Dogs. It's dogs in the time of fascism.
I love dogs.
Yeah, Jim Powell loves dogs.
I want a dog, but I can't have one.
My coping mechanism is my dog and his girlfriend. We laugh several times a day. Of course, you try to, you know, I'm not in the activist mode yet. You know, I'm trying.
You're not in activist mode yet?
Not yet. I'm waiting.
Should we come up with our own like a plan for a march of some kind? Should we march on? Who should we march on?
There's going to be a national strike. There's going to have to be when things get absolutely bonkers.
As long as I get paid on National Strike Day, I'll strike as long as you want.
I'm not there yet. Right now, I'm just trying to keep myself sane and my dogs keep me happy. That's next one.
No,
third.
Love it. No, we'll go for lots of wash. Last one.
Yep.
I just discovered it today. Soffit repairs.
Soffit repairs.
So underneath, on there, I got some loose by this one grate.
This, how many is stupid aggressive? Remind me what a soffit is.
It's right under the roof. So I think you have the.
Oh, yeah.
Fascia, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Underneath that, the horizontal that's parallel to the ground.
That's parallel to the ground, right? So we're kind of talking about flashing again.
Well, it's the soffit. It's the part that's underneath. Flashing, my understanding, is the stuff that's perpendicular to the ground.
Okay.
On the roof edge.
Gotcha. I'm about to do a big roofing project, but I'm definitely going to be using the internet a lot. I have been already doing some research for a big roofing job that's coming up. But I think I don't think I'm comfortable answering that yet, but I'm about to learn a lot more about roofing. So why don't you call me back on that one in a couple months?
I love it. I just started my research. Well, Alan,
I'll hit you up.
Best of luck on your repairs.
Thanks, Zach. Always appreciate your call.
That would be a good listener meetup, as we all meet up and like fix somebody's roof.
Oh, just for free?
Just for funsies.
I'm broke, dude.
Oh.
I need to get paid for work.
I need to get paid!
201-209-9368. Advice on any topic. Any topic. I mean...
do we do weed juice on this show or no weed
I don't
juice?
Do weed juice during the day. Generally don't. I don't think it's a good idea.
Ever?
I haven't done it. Well, I do it during the day, but not on the radio. I think that's a night thing.
Wait, you don't do it on the radio or you don't do it during the day?
I'm doing during the day on the radio.
But at night on the radio is okay.
At night on the radio is fine, yeah. After midnight,
Snacks in the Ask Alan show? I don't see any snacks.
No snacks. No snacks. 201-209-9368. I love... last time I did this, Naomi joined me, and it was heavy. It was some heavy...
It was an intense episode. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about people and our connections.
Jeez Louise. I mean, and I'm fine with that. I'll talk to you about anything. I just think it's important for me to say that I am not a licensed therapist of any kind, but I am here to talk to you about anything. So give a call, 201-209-9368. Time management seems to be a big thing.
Oh, I have trouble with that. Yeah, I have a lot of trouble with the time management.
Yeah, well, so you have an example?
Yeah, I never get anything done because I have ADHD and I feel like paralyzed by decisions I have to make.
Are you diagnosed with ADHD or self-diagnosing?
Yeah, no, I've been diagnosed by some of the best diagnosers out there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. They can't get enough of the diagnosis. The problem is we can't really solve it. It's, you know.
Well, how do you manage to work? How do you manage to get to work every day?
Yeah,
full-time job?
Good question, yeah. I mean.
Well, answer it.
I mean, just to grind it out, man. Got to grind it. Show up. Try to make it happen.
Well, showing up. How does somebody with your situation show up?
Well, like, you know how, like, you know, sometimes you watch those movies and, you know, like inside the head of a cartoon character, there's like just a monkey banging cymbals. That's kind of what's going on in my mind almost at all times.
But you still get to work. Are you habitually late person?
No, I leave in time, hopefully, to get there in time.
Well, then, so something that you're doing... is working in spite of your condition, right?
Yeah, it's just my dread and fear of failure and living in the gutter and that kind of stuff.
Well, carry that with you in all things that
you're doing. I'm doing?
Carry your dread and fear.
Carry your dread everywhere.
201-209-9368. We give advice on any topic on this radio program.
Are you wiping that steam?
Yeah, my Ween instrumental has been...
See, now I thought we should write... This is. I had a great idea, and I'm like, I know who would love this, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's write a song called "Smells Like Ween Spirit." And
yeah,
now Alan's like, well, why? What do we want to do that for?
I hate that idea.
Why do you hate it?
Well, I don't. Why do I want to do a mashup of? I don't. Just can we do? This is an advice show.
I'm asking for advice about my idea for a song called "Smells Like Ween Spirit."
I don't want to do it. You were including me. If you want to do it, I think you should pursue your dream.
Okay.
201-209.
I mean, I'm going to do it.
9368. 201-209-9368. Yeah, give a call. There's a lot going on out there. People are losing their jobs.
They are?
Like bonkers.
Who's losing their jobs?
Federal jobs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe you should go work the board.
I'll call screen for Alan. I'm going to go call screen for Alan.
Go call screen. 201-209-9368. Jim the Poet is going to screen the calls. We have an open board right now. Ask Alan. I figure Ask Alan's going to hit a wall, but let it not be tonight. Give us a call, 201-209-9368. Advice on any topic. Relationships seems to be a big one. Everybody has relationship advice. Having a hard time getting into the field after COVID. I personally have had a hard time getting in the field after COVID. I just want to stay home. Thinking about relocating. but can't give up the job? Any topic. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. We got a call. Hello, you're on the radio.
Hey, man. It's listener Brian, the professor.
Oh, hi.
How are you doing?
Hi, professor.
Hey. I have a question for you that has to do with home fermentation.
You know what? I've done plenty of fermentation in my life. Go for
it. That's great. Good. I had a feeling you maybe had something up your sleeve.
Why, I sound like a dirty hippie?
So here's the deal. Last summer, my daughter made a giant batch of kimchi at our house. Uh-huh. Like, huge. Like, in a giant plastic thing that she got in Koreatown. And when you make all this kimchi, you have to go get all the vegetables and all the stuff that goes into it. And mm-hmm. the sauces and the baby shrimp and all this other stuff. And you put it in, and then you use this thing that presses down mm-hmm. onto the kimchi to squeeze all of the air out of it, like as much as possible, right?
Yes.
And then somehow that keeps it from going bad the bad way, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so then when she left, she got an apartment and she left and went back to the gun room and left in the fridge a dish of kimchi that didn't have the plastic weighing down and pressing out all the extra air. Uh-huh. So my question is, how long do you think homemade kimchi will last in the fridge without that plastic thing pressing out all the extra
no
air?
Longer it's no longer submerged.
Yeah, it's
underneath
no
its own juices.
Got something pressing down to keep it, kind of tightly sealed.
I mean, there's definitely no reason to take that risk. It changes smell. It will eventually get a mold, and there's no way to tell if it's a good mold or a bad mold.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it, and I didn't see any mold.
Yeah.
And I kind of tasted it. It tastes a little sharp. Like, it tastes a little funky. It tastes a little sharp. But then I went and bought some regular kimchi because I thought, I better not trust this kimchi anymore. So I went and bought some regular kimchi, and then I tasted it, and I thought, on a taste test comparison, the regular kimchi from the store just tastes really, really bland and boring.
Yeah, I mean, did you get store-bought kimchi, like, in a can or a jar? Like, what, like...
Like, in a plastic jar. I kind of wish that I had, pony up for some more expensive kimchi at a nicer Korean shop or something.
There are... they sell a lot of... kimchis and yogurts, for example, that have to be, they're made to last, so they have some kind of preservative in them, and they're not really alive anymore. You're not getting the probiotic.
It's kind of like dead kimchi.
You're getting fake, what I would call, you're not getting the health effect of a really live fermented.
Well, that's like a subject for a whole different call, right? Like, I mean, like, how do you tell when you've got good kimchi versus dead kimchi?
Well, like you said, if you go to a Korean shop in Fort Lee, you're probably going to be getting real kimchi. But kimchi is basically sauerkraut with a lot more ingredients. It's the same idea, and the health benefits are indisputable because of the tons and tons of vitamins, I think specifically all different kinds of vitamin B's that you get from it. It is really vitamin rich when made well. And response to your question is, if it's been sitting in your refrigerator, not submerged, like basically good kimchi could stay submerged and you could keep eating out of it and then put the weight back on it over and over and over again. And then the water stays above it and keeps the air from hitting it. So throw that kimchi out. There's no reason to.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to trust you, even though I did eat one kind of big piece of cabbage out of it.
It's probably, it's probably fine. It's going to taste a little bit different than what it's supposed to taste like. But what's the point? There's a book called Wild Fermentation, and the sort of god of simple fermentation, easy recipes with like pictures and small recipes. It's by a guy named Sandor Katz.
Okay,
K-A-T-Z.
There's a kombucha thing in there too?
Everything, kombucha, yogurt, wine, beer, sauerkraut, kimchi, you name it. There's a recipe in there. He has a much bigger book, The Art of Fermentation, which is more like a Bible. And Wild Fermentation is like
reference.
It's more like a library reference book and with really intense recipes, where Wild Fermentation is like for beginners, and you could make really, really great stuff. Pick it up; it's awesome.
Hey, I'm there for it. I'm there for it. Hey, thanks again. I knew you could come through.
Thanks, Professor.
Have a good one.
You too. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. It's heavy out there in the world. Things are happening in real time. Like Social Security, they're taking away people's ability. If you have Social Security or you need to reach Social Security, you're not going to be able to do it by phone anymore. You're only going to be able to do it by internet. So imagine a lot of old folks who've been just not using the internet or email communication to reach Social Security now have to figure out a way. So, we have a call coming in. Hello, you're on the radio.
Hey, Alan. Dave from Minneapolis.
Hi, Dave.
I got kind of a relationship / legal question for you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Right? Yeah. All baked into one. Long story short, I bought a house with my partner, and we broke up 3 years ago, and she moved out. And the house is in both of our names. So we're working on, you know, what would be an equitable settlement for that, and everything's amicable. But I guess my question for you is if you were looking at this from your perspective, would it just be a split of the equity, or would you take other things into consideration?
Are you definitely selling?
I am not definitely selling.
So
I still live here.
You live, is it a one family?
It's just like a 2-bed, 1-bath house.
And you're going to basically buy her out?
Yep.
So it's how much do you give her to make everything right?
Yeah, exactly. And
she's okay with you keeping the house?
I'm keeping the house. I mean, I don't think anyone wants to move right now.
What do you mean, anyone?
Well, if you've got a roof over your head,
anyone. I thought you meant anyone in the house.
Just to move.
I thought you meant anyone in the house. I thought you meant there were other people there.
Oh, no. It's me and my dog.
But what I'm saying is, but both of your names is still on the deed?
Yep.
And
further complexity is that I've got a 2.8% mortgage rate.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and you can't let that go.
Yeah, no.
And what, so you communicate regularly as friends?
Yes, we do.
And does she have ideas about what should happen?
What we initially settled on was that I would be making some payments to her just to kind of put some money in her pocket so that she's got the ability to potentially put a down payment somewhere, but she's just renting right now.
Okay. And does she live far away from you?
15 minutes.
Okay. And is there any side of her that's like a little bit bitter that you ended up keeping the house and she had to move?
Not at all. In fact, it's like back to the first caller. It's a 100-year-old house and she's happy to be rid of it.
She doesn't want to deal with it.
That puts the thought in my mind that, you know, I've been sinking some money into this house, and any equity that I realize when I do sell it is going to be a result of the money I'm putting into it.
Right. Do you have money behind you to be able to make a like lump sum payment to her, or would you have to take a loan?
I would have to take a loan.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you own the house together?
About 4 years. Yeah, about 4 years.
Who made the down payment?
We both made it together. I made it from my accounts because she had been exchanging money with her parents, so that looked bad to the I guess lenders.
But you put in equal amount on the down payment, and then the mortgage was paid equally while you were together living there?
It was, yes.
Split down the middle?
Yep.
Down payment and mortgage payments were split down the middle.
Yep, and I've been making solo payments the last 3 years, so we're basing the amount on when she moved out.
Did you own anything else together beside your house?
No, just the dog.
The dog. And now
we're not splitting her in half.
And you pay for maintenance of the dog and food and all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, there are people there, you know, there are, wouldn't even take a lawyer. What are these people called? They're, my friends who've gotten divorces, they didn't go, through, lawyers. They went through these people that are called, I can't remember the name of it. You know what I'm talking about? There are people who work these things out.
Like mediators?
Mediators, yeah. But that's what I am right here, right? An unqualified mediator, right?
That's right.
Okay, so I guess the first thing you have to do is basically what you said. So figure out how much money she put into the house and how much money she paid in mortgage, but then you have to figure out how much money you have since put into the house. Now, as you're putting money into the house, you're also increasing the value of the house that's gonna go to. So it sounds like what you need to do soon is get, you know, it's hard. You can't put the house up for sale to see what people would offer.
Uh-huh.
But you kind of can. You could put the house up for sale and see and get like 5 offers and then take an average and then say, okay, we're pretty certain that somewhere in this wheelhouse, but that's a pain in the butt, you know, putting your pain in your efforts. But that's the only way you could really get a sense of what the house would sell for. I mean, you could ask a real estate agent what they would ask. You could, you know, see what the market does, but you never really know. Where do you live?
Minneapolis. And she had a real estate agent friend that did like an informal appraisal, but I mean, she barely looked at the house, and that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, appraisals are one thing, but the neighborhood means so much. Like, but what my house would get appraised for compared to what I could actually get is so different.
Right.
So, you know, and you're probably in a desirable neighborhood where, like, you know, cool people and hipsters want to live. Am I right or am I wrong?
I've seen FMU stickers on cars.
Okay, all right. So
that tells you. And every Tesla has some sort of anti-Elon sticker on it.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. And did you? So it would probably benefit if I was just working in your own interest, it would probably benefit you to roll with the appraisal as a price, because you probably would get more than the appraisal if it went up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to be a very fair person, you would have to see houses of equal quality, what they're actually going for in your neighborhood, right?
Yep. And this is kind of a unicorn of a house, because it's easily the smallest in like a couple block radius, which is why we could afford it.
What does this mean, a unicorn of a house?
Well, it's surrounded by, like, it's a 2-bed, 1-bath, but it's surrounded by, like, much larger houses.
So it could be desirable for a 2 people. Like a,
yep, exactly. Yeah, it's one of those houses that changes hands every like 5 or 6 years because people grow out of it.
It would sell really fast.
Yep.
So, and then the other side of this is the your ex-partner probably has a take on this that I'm not even hearing. So when you talk to her, I would love to hear what she thinks she has coming besides split in equity. Oh, I can't believe I'm talking about real estate. You know, I'm breaking one of my golden rules is I don't talk about real estate because it's it's relatively boring. But this is a little bit more than real estate. So
yeah, I mean, this is more of a like, what do you, if you were in my shoes, what would you see as fair in terms of what she's entitled to versus what I am, since I'm still here, boots on the ground, like
I'd want to get it over with, really,
boilers and stuff.
I'd really want to get it over with quick to where the house was all mine. And I think that you go with an appraisal, and you check around the neighborhood where similar houses of similar year and style, et cetera, what they're selling for. And you go somewhere in between the appraisal and what those houses are selling for. And then you split down the middle, because honestly, what you're putting into it, you're going to get back one day, because unless everything completely tanks, and it might, the way things look.
The
but you have that low interest rate, so your mortgage is still probably going to be cheaper than a lot of people's rents, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, take some more calls. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, man. See ya.
All
right, bye. All right, I don't know. What do I know about it? I'm no good at this. I don't know what I'm talking about, especially when it comes to money. I'm a bum. Not a bum. I work hard, but I don't make anything. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. If I don't jump right on the call and interrupt Jim the Poet, you could talk to Jim the Poet while he screens your call. We got about 25 minutes to go for Dan Boda comes in, Vocal Fry. But until then, you can get advice on any topic. Last week we said some really, really, really heavy stuff, and that's okay. I do my best. So I probably have some unconventional advice if you have addiction issues. Blackjack or poker? What's your bag? Let's talk gambling. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. The phone lines are open. And I will give you advice on any topic. Wild, wild times. The Pope is dead. How you feeling about that? That affecting you emotionally? I think Jim the Poet's pretty upset about it. I realized today I was in Costa Rica traveling around the country for 6 months in 2005. And I realized today, not because I'm like religious of any sort, but because I was in Costa Rica, I was in Latin America when Pope John Paul II died. And he also died right after Easter. He just died right in the middle of Semana Santa, which is like bigger than Christmas down there in Latin America. And, Jim the Poet's back. I brought up the Pope and he freaked out. Hold on. He grabbed his headphones. And,
are we doing Popey talk?
I mean, I'll give you a minute or two.
Now tell your Costa Rica story.
And Semana Santa is huge all throughout Latin America, which is Easter week. And so people were celebrating Semana Santa while they were mourning the loss of the Pope. And I was traveling around with my partner at the time, and she was a photographer. So I got to find those pictures because there were just processions that happened regularly in Semana Santa. But we were in San Jose and then Limon, two big, big cities in Latin America. We got a call, Jim. Hello, you're on the radio.
Oh, sick. That's awesome.
Sick. Don't curse. You sound like some
show. It's great.
All right. I love you too. I mean, no, I don't. I don't even know you, but thank you. How can I help you today?
You could love me. There's lots to love. So there's, I have a few questions for you.
Yep.
One, how easy is it to die from botulism if you're doing garlic cooking stuff?
All right. So short answer is I don't know.
Okay.
But you can get botulism from garlic? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. If you like cook garlic in olive oil and then you set it in the fridge, apparently that it can... I know. This is like insane because like who doesn't like cook olive and garlic oil? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so basically, you can get really sick and die. Botulism is like a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what the Pope got. That's what he had before, you know, he had some bad garlic. And then he got pneumonia, and he eventually died.
What are you basing this on?
No,
All right. Yeah. So I have a story about Darwin Award and garlic where I didn't almost die, but probably 15 years ago, a woman from Seattle was coming to visit me, and I was real sick. I had met her actually in Costa Rica, and she was coming to visit me, but I got like really sick and she was going to be here the next day. So I got this like really stupid idea that, you know, garlic is supposed to make you better. right?
That's not stupid. I believe that. Raw garlic.
Yeah,
it helped me throughout COVID.
Well, what I did was I had a really good juicer, and I juiced like three entire heads of garlic, which made like a half a cup of garlic juice. And I shot it. Like I shot it. Yeah. Yeah. And then I was screaming. I felt like my head was on fire. Then I felt like my chest was on fire. Then I felt like my feet was on fire. I was literally screaming out loud. And then I called a friend and said, I think you might have to take me to the hospital. We were supposed to go hang out somewhere that day, like go use clothes shopping. So he hauled ass to my house, and I was just like breathing fire, like like really, really hurting from, you know, garlic's really, really potent stuff. And we got in the car. And right. He was on his way to the hospital. We were supposed to go to the Goodwill to just buy clothes. And then we like got outside the hospital and I was drinking water. And he just kept going, man, you stink so bad. Like, you cannot imagine how bad you stink. And I was like, yeah, I think I can imagine. And then I kept like sipping water. My chest was burning. But I was like, okay, I don't think I have to go to the hospital. And I was like, let's just go to the Goodwill, even though I was sweating and hurting. So then we went to the Goodwill to like just buy some like used clothes. And I was walking, I'll never forget this. And I was walking around the aisles, and a woman like 25 feet away from me, I'll never forget it because my friend started cracking up. She went, it stinks like pepperoni in here.
That's all the Jersey coming out of you.
Yeah. So don't, I don't know about garlic and botulism, and I will look that up. I never had heard that before. I mean, I do sometimes put garlic in a food processor and then put it in a Tupperware and then use it over several days, but not in oil. So now you got me thinking you probably don't want garlic sitting around processed for like, go ahead.
So not to alarm anyone who's listening, but raw garlic is pretty much safe until it doesn't smell good anymore.
Okay.
But if it's been cooked in olive oil, that's when it's like something about that process releases the potential, which I think is a slim margin, for botulism to grow. So the raw garlic, I think, is pretty much good, and I think it's got a lot of really wonderful vitamins in it and stuff.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I love raw garlic, you know. I mean, not like...
Me
cup,
too.
Or a half a cup. That sounds like a little bit like you OD'd on garlic.
I overdosed on garlic. Yeah, I overdosed on garlic, and it was. I learned so much about how powerful garlic is because it was freaking intense. Like I couldn't. It was mind-boggling. It was mind-opening. So anybody listening, if you learned anything today, you didn't ask me, but do not shoot a half a cup of garlic juice, unless you are you're really into pain and discomfort. And then I always wondered if it did any like permanent damage to me. I don't think so. But and you know what though? The next day,
oh yeah, let me hear this.
She came to the house. I was better. She stayed for 3 days, For 3 days, I stunk like garlic. I couldn't get rid of it. It was coming out of my pores. It was coming out of my breath. Yeah. So this poor woman came from Seattle to visit me. And for 3 days, all she got was a stinky Jersey garlic hoe.
Yeah. You got the pepperoni out of your pores.
Yeah.
It's really
it smells like pepperoni in here. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate you answering my botulism question. I really ask because I just opened a seasonal sandwich shop in Rockaway Beach.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to make a vegan spread, and I want to make sure I don't kill anybody.
Yeah, good idea.
If you ever come out to Rockaway Beach, come see us on Shorefront Parkway at Beach 69. It's really, you know, we do Jersey classic style sandwiches.
Where is it located?
My grandfather's from Jersey City, you know, where he was before he passed. And so the whole thing is, it's called Panino Bozza.
Panino Bozza in Rockaway Beach. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'm doing shameless self-promotion, but at the same time, I'm very genuinely curious to see if I'm going to kill anyone.
Yeah, no.
Vegan spread, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be fine.
The internet's amazing for making sure you don't kill people.
Yeah, and also for making you worry about every little possible way you can.
That's true, too. Every time you search, like I have a the lower right side of my stomach is hurting, they'll tell you that you're going to die in like 3 days, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and you probably will.
And you might. Because, yeah, in this day and age, happen. You probably will. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the chat.
Don't shoot garlic. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. Jim the Poet wants really, really wants to talk about the Pope.
No, are we going to do shots of garlic juice or not?
No. Never again.
Can we do that for like a holiday? We, you know, we missed Easter.
What do you mean? Oh, we did. Yeah. So Jim the Poet and I usually do holiday shows together. And we missed the, and you know, Jim's big into the Catholic holidays. We could have done a nice Easter show. You could have done the religious stuff and I could have done the rebirth and spring stuff. And we could have took calls like we are now.
Easter calls. And we could do it next year, you know.
And
something to look forward to.
Easter Monday, the Pope died. So 201-209-9368.
Well, that was because of J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance killed the Pope.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he shakes some more hands and they croak. And remember he dropped the trophy?
Yeah.
So he's like, he's on a crazy list of just breaking things wherever he goes. The Eiffel Tower is next.
I do feel like, you know, the Pope made a commitment to do Easter Mass, and that was his, like, I'm going to do this one thing today, and then this jackass comes from the United States and says, hey, I'm the Vice President of the United States. You got to see me. And he probably forced him in to do that one other thing that he didn't have in him because he was sick and feeling terrible.
Oh, no, I thought it was good. I think God kept the Pope alive long enough to give him the sort of, like, dirty look. Because, like, you know, J.D.'s been a Catholic for, like, 5 minutes or something like that. And he's already, like, expounding on the Catholic Church and their charities and doing all kind of... It's like, don't worry about it, J.D. Like, just believe me. After 10, 20 years, you can start complaining about being a Catholic.
So do you think the Pope gave J.D. Vance the hex, you mean?
No, I think he had his number two in command, gave him, like, a theological speech of the highest order where they, like, brought him into the principal's office and gave him the deal.
And then the Pope dropped dead, though.
Well, I mean, he was not in great shape.
Yeah, know? I don't.
But
think
he lasted
needed
long
to...
enough. God kept him on Earth long enough to. That was God's plan.
All right. God's plan. Yeah. 201-209-9368. God's plan was for J.D. Vance to kill the Pope. 201-209-9368.
God works in mysterious ways.
So they
as
say.
As we know.
Yeah. 201-209-9368. Advice on any topic. Look at the things we're learning tonight. Don't drink half a cup of garlic juice.
I mean, I kind of have a yearning for it now.
Oh, it's an experience.
There was in the movie that I saw, the Sinners movie. There's a big garlic scene. I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but it was intense and
yeah.
It was visceral. Yeah. It really had like a. There was a, you know.
Well, be it a spoiler. I don't care.
Well, they're all trying to see who's a vampire, and they're all you know, one by one pounding down a garlic.
A clove or a whole.
It was like a whole a clove. I mean, just like boom.
So the fact that the garlic almost killed me, does that mean I'm a vampire?
It means you're not a vampire.
But it didn't kill me.
Yeah, because you're not a vampire. Vampires don't die. They just go back to hell.
But I almost died, so maybe I'm like a little bit of a vampire.
Well, I mean, I've seen you during the day outside.
Oh, right. 201-209-9368. Advice on any topic.
Do you have vampire advice?
Well, I would need a more specific question.
Like, you know, I'm having trouble finding victims, will you help me, that kind of thing? Or
are you a vampire?
No, I'm saying it's possible that they might call in.
We would talk. I would have a lot of questions.
Have you heard about anybody at the station that says, oh, I got the hots for Jim the Poet? Has anyone ever said that to you? You're not saying no.
No, I have tried to I have tried to persuade people to
why would you have to persuade people?
Because I think you're a catch, and I think sometimes people don't
know.
I mean,
I'm a catch because I'm, you know, I'm on the loose, and I need to be caught in a net.
201-209-9368.
You didn't say no there. That's good. That's.
I root for you. I'm a fan of Jim the Poet.
You used to call me your radio wife.
Yeah, and I could tell it was the only thing.
Well, it was getting in the way of my my radio action. You know,
Jim was getting upset by me calling him my radio wife.
Because people are like, you know, you're Alan's, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I have a couple like my. Tico's girlfriend's dad is kind of like a wife because we share a lot of responsibilities together. I have a bandmate who I call my wife.
So I was just one of your sister wives?
Yeah, you're one of my many wives, yeah. 201-209-9368.
Thanks for making that seem less special, by the way.
No, it's very, you're my best friend at the radio station, Jimmy.
You're
Paul.
My best friend, too.
201-209-9368.
No one else likes me that much.
Not a lot of people need advice tonight. No, everybody loves
Who doesn't
you.
Need advice?
I don't know.
We all need advice. Do you have any stock advice?
No, I don't give financial advice.
You don't give financial advice?
Look at me. I don't know.
Well, you'd be surprised yourself.
I beg for haircuts. 201-209.
I'll give you a haircut right now while you're on the air.
It's all right. I got to finish the phone number. 201-209-9368. 10 minutes till Vocal Fry with Dan Boda. You know what always happens? The last 3 minutes, the phone line lights up.
That's when it lights up.
I know. Isn't that weird?
People are desperate.
Yeah.
That's how it is at AA meetings, too. No one says anything. And then anyone have a burning desire to speak and 25 hands go up.
You spend a lot of time at AA?
I haven't been there lately.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of going again. Because, it'd be good to have, some fellowship, some friends, that kind of thing.
Hello, you're on the radio.
Hello.
Can you shut your radio off?
Oh, yeah. All right, sorry, it's yeah, I got over that.
Don't curse.
Cayenne pepper. Well, no. I had a question. I wanted to know if vampires, they can go outside, but I think not in direct sunlight.
During the day, you mean?
During the day, yeah.
I think of, vampires more as like metaphors, people who like suck the life out of you and sort of thrive on it, get off on draining the life out of other humans. So I always, I'm more of a metaphor, see vampires as metaphors in a human sense. They drain you of your blood and your life source.
Right, your energy.
They probably don't like it out during the day because they're probably up all night, like spinning their wheels and, being demonic out in the world. And,
like Peter Lorre or something, wringing his hands.
Or Abe Vigoda. Do you need advice?
No, I just had to chime in with that.
The vampire chatter.
Yeah, and the garlic that was nuts, dude.
That's true. That really happened. That's wow. One of my most. I should call the guy who was with me. Maybe I will. All right. Thanks for the call, man. See ya. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. So many heavy calls the last time I was here. I think me expressing the fact that I was shaken up by the heaviness. I want heavy calls. Bring it.
You do?
Of course. I just, people just need to know that.
At the beginning of the show, you were saying.
Well, that I was nervous, that I left a little shaky. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Did I shut your mic?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead, Jim the Poet. What were you saying?
No, I'm saying you were saying, we could take, you could say, the last.
I'm sorry, Jim. Every time you start talking, somebody calls. Hi, you're on the radio. Hello? You hung up on me.
Hey, I love this show. 201. Thank you for the call. That was a great call.
201, 209. They're back. Hello, you're on the radio.
Oh, hi, Alan. It's your friend and neighbor, Shannon.
Oh, hi. Can you shut your radio? Hi, Shannon.
I think my radio is off.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard it, but it was probably just Jim the Poet.
What? What did I do?
All right, I'm going to shut him off now. Go ahead, Shannon.
I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to sleep through the night. I've been waking up like every hour on the hour.
Oh, this is Shannon of Joe and Shannon.
Yes.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I, too, haven't been sleeping great lately. How long do you wake up frequently throughout the night, or do you just not sleep at all?
No, it's like I'll sleep for 59 minutes, wake up and look at the clock, and then go back to sleep.
Do you sleep with your phone?
No.
It's not even in your room?
No, we have a dream machine.
What is that?
It's like the old school... alarm/radio.
The old okay. So
dream
like
machine?
A right. I didn't know that. I'm so old. I don't even know what the dream machine is.
I think that might be older than you.
Oh, maybe that's why. So what I do know is from experience is that I sleep a lot better when I have a I hate the expression, Jim. I'm sorry I shut your mic off. It's back on.
You're not sorry.
I'm not sorry. When I have a like intense workout regimen where like endorphins are really kicking in, where like so are you moving your body? Are you getting exercise?
I just started working out, which is weird.
And that's when the insomnia kicked in?
Actually, now that you say it.
So it could be the beginning of a lot of adrenaline, you know. This is a good time for me to say that I am not qualified to do this. I'm going to hypothesize.
I think you're on the right track here.
Yeah, thank you. I just think that it's possible that it's the beginning of your workout routine and that adrenaline is flowing. Do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
Do you drink it during the day? All day?
I try to stop by like 2 p.m.
Well, start. How many cups do you have by 2 p.m.?
Well, some of them are Diet Cokes.
So, okay, all right.
I don't know. 3 to 4?
Okay. Well, I mean, I think one of the first things you could do is cut back on that and stop drinking coffee and Diet Coke earlier.
I know that's shocking.
I'm sorry.
I started a thing, Alan.
Yeah.
It's red light bulbs, and they're supposed to undo the blue light that you've done to yourself the whole day. So, I switch out the light bulbs in my bedroom after a certain time to the red light bulbs.
Every day?
Every day. And it really helps.
And you sleep with light bulbs on?
Sometimes. Like a night light.
Oh, okay.
But red light, night light.
Why? Because you might trip on your way to the bathroom or something?
No, sometimes because I've fallen asleep because the red light bulbs work so well that I fall asleep with the light on.
Okay. So this is a recent phenomenon, Shannon?
I feel like it's happened before, but it's been worse recently.
Yeah, I mean,
I just need something, some sort of thing to do before I go to bed that'll make me sleep all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I read Moby Dick sometimes.
Oh,
that helps.
So do you read... Not
Herman Melville.
I know books do a much better job of putting me down than the internet. If I read the internet, forget it. It's like if I'm on my phone or a computer, it makes my sleep pattern just horrendous. So maybe sleep with your favorite or with a new book next to your bed and just read until you crash. And then if you wake up in the middle of the night, put on your little reading light and then read again until you crash.
I think I'll try that.
Yeah, and increase your workout regimen to where like the indoor. You need to hit exhaustion. It's not just working out. Okay, I'm working out now. You gotta like really reach exhaustion a couple times a day, or at least once a day, where like the endorphins are like through the roof and you're just so tired. So increase the workout regimen, cut back on the coffee and Diet Pepsi before 1 p.m.
Yeah, Diet Pepsi's gross, man.
And
Coke. It was Diet Coke.
Diet Coke, sorry. And read a book and keep the internet far, far away from you when you're sleeping at night. That's all I could do.
Books and exhaustion.
And then if worse comes to work, take a Klonopin. Just kidding.
I do anyway, but thank you, Alan. I appreciate it.
I hope I see you both soon. I haven't seen you in a while.
I will see you soon.
All right, awesome.
I know where you live, huh?
You do. Bye. All right, we got a couple more minutes till Vocal Fry with Dan Boda. You could still sneak one in. Thank you, Jim the Poet, for...
Oh, thank you, Alan.
...keeping me company.
I'm glad you're helping so many people.
Oh, yeah, we are really in a time of great strife. Did you sign your the board, by the way?
Oh, I was doing a little bit of that.
Yeah, do that and then do mine as well, please. Thank
I got to
you.
Do yours?
Yes, please. Thank you.
I don't know how to forge your signature.
I don't know what the time is now, like in military
18...
time.
18.
Exactly. Do that. We've got time for one more call before the music of Mind Control. 201-209-9368. While I start to clean up my
My space.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and in Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM. And all over the world, you can hear us online at WFMU.org.
Dan Boda coming up in 2 minutes, but you, yes, you, could be the last call of Alan and Jim the Poet. I just saw Dan Boda coming in through the security camera.
Uh-oh.
So we might have an extra minute or two. So now's your chance. 201-209-9368. 201-209-9368. Ask Alan. Thank you, Micah, Music of Mind Control. That was fast. I saw you come in the door like 8 seconds
bolt
ago.
Bolt of lightning.
What is this? Dan Boda
is in the studio.
Dan Boda, give us your best vocal fry. harmonize vocal fries. Well done.
I got a yodeling pickle last on call. Order, Dan. So
you're on the radio. It's got to be a quick one.
Poker.
Poker? What about it? Oh, you're asking poker or blackjack?
Yeah.
So you're giving me advice?
I don't know. I thought you were asking if we liked poker or blackjack.
So do you win? Are you a winner?
Sometimes.
Three-card stud, or what are we talking about here?
Where do you play?
No poker. I played a local club. I live in California, so there are a lot of legal clubs, just card clubs around here.
So like pretty humans awesome. Playing, or are you playing machines?
Machines?
Oh, no, real people. I don't play no machines. I don't play online. I love playing with real people. You can read them. There's a lot of interaction. It's really great.
That's
great
a real gift, being able to read people's key to the game, really.
I personally, I'm a blackjack guy. I haven't played much in years, but when I do, I'm pretty disciplined, and I have my moments.
What's your secret to blackjack?
I just play by the rules and don't go crazy.
Play by the rules?
Yeah, you know, do the things that you're supposed to do with blackjack. Don't trust your instincts. Just do the things
you're
supposed to do.
I play madman blackjack. It keeps people off balance.
Let's go to Atlantic City.
Tonight?
I'll go.
Meet me tonight in Atlantic City.
Vocal Fry with Dan Boda coming up oh so soon. Thanks, everybody, for playing along. Ask Alan will be back someday.
Soon.
Bye.
That guy hung up?
I think so.
Bye.
You're... Newsboy,
take a look at that clock. Newsboy, I got a heart like a rock. I guess I'm deserted too. Just you peddle your papers to them window gapers while my heart breaks in two. Starting to rain. Newsboy, you just don't know my pain. Guess I'll stroll on down the avenue, 'cause from now
there she had two pretty babies born down by the bonny greenwood side. Green side, yo, green side, yo, green side. She leaned herself against an oak, all alone in a lonely hole. She pushed and she pushed till her back knee broke down by the bonny greenwood side. She took off a length of her ribbon belt and she bound them by their hand and leg. Oh, smile not so sweet, my bunny babes. If you smile so sweet, you'll smile on me, babe. Sharp, and she pressed it through their tender hearts. She held the dagger up to heaven high as she climbed them up their earthly life. She wiped the dagger on the ground so green, yet the more she wiped, the more the blood was seen. She tried to flow the laden far and far away, yet the far she threw, the near it came. She digged a grave far, far beyond the sun, all alone in a lonely hole. And there she buried her sweet Pat-a-thon, down by the bonny greenwood side. Oh, green side, yo, green side, yo, green side, yo, green side, yo. Years went by, she was going by the church, all alone in a lonely room. She saw two pretty babies on the porch, down by the bonny greenwood side. She looked at the ghost babes on the churchyard wall, all alone in a lonely room. She saw two pretty bonny boys a-playing at a ball down by the bonny greenwood side. Oh. She said, oh babes, if you were mine, alone in a lonely hole, I'd dress you up in silk and scarlet fine down by the bonny greenwood side. Once thine, all alone in a lonely hole, and you never dressed us up in silk and scarlet fine, down by the bonny greenwood side. You took a dagger long and cold and sharp, and you pierced it through our tender heart. You digged a grave far and far beyond the sun, and buried us beneath the marble stone. Oh, babes, what am I to do for the cruel thing that I've done to you? Oh, pretty babes, please tell it now to me, what sort of death I'll have to die. There'll be 7 long years as a bird within the wood, all alone in a lonely hole. And 7 long years as a fisher in the flood, down by the bonny greenwood side. Oh. And 7 long years as the tongue of the warning bell. And 7 long years as the tongue of the warning bell. 7 long years are in the deeps of hell. 7 long years are in the deeps of hell. And 7 long years in the deeps of hell, down by the bonny greenwood side.